Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Wanted to start out today by saying Happy Father's Day to all the fathers and grandfathers and all those we have in our midst. Happy Father's Day to you. Today is a day that we celebrate fatherhood, the fathers in our midst, and what an incredible calling it is, an incredible responsibility it is to raise up children in this world. What an incredible blessing it is to be able to raise children in the way of Jesus, on the foundation of God's word. It's not easy to do. The world, we've been going through the book of Acts, and from Genesis to Revelation, we see that there is indeed a battle. There is in the world an enemy of God constantly fighting to dismantle biblical values and family values and even cause people to reconsider and even deconstruct their faith. That's a big term that's being used nowadays, to deconstruct the things that you grew up learning about God and what it means to have faith in Him. There are things that try to take us away from God and His word, and it's so evident. And so as fathers, as parents, we play such an important role in raising up our children in the Lord. We have to be filled with God's word for ourselves. We have to show in a real way, though not being perfect fathers or parents, that we live in God's grace and we still live out truth as best we can, and then we fall on God's loving grace every time that we fail. But we must train up and raise up our children in the way of the Lord. Amen? It is a great responsibility, but God is with us, and He empowers us through the Holy Spirit. And before we get into today's verses, I did want to recognize and take a moment and acknowledge that just as I said on Mother's Day, on Father's Day, it is not always a day of celebration for all of us. It's not always the easiest for all of us either. Father's Day can come with some sadness, a reminder of the loss of our own father. I think about, you know, my dad who passed away at 48 years old. I still think of him every day. For those who have maybe lost a child, whether through miscarriage or stillbirth or tragedy in life. You know, we were in New Jersey, my family, this weekend for a wedding, and we stopped by Ewing Cemetery where Esther and our first child is buried, her body, Ara. And so Father's Day is not always easy. It comes with sometimes brokenness and hardship and sadness. And there are those who want to be a dad, want to be a father, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't happened yet. But as we're here together, I hope that we will be encouraged by God the Father, that on this Father's Day, that we would remember His goodness and His love that is available, that is so real for each one of us here. And that as we grow in our understanding of who God is in His love and in His grace, then we too would learn what it means to walk in the Father's love. And that's today's message. The title of today's message is Walk in the Father's Love. And we're going to look at just two verses in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. And this is what the Word of God says. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You would just bless us through Your word. God, we thank You that Your word is indeed timeless and that it is not something that doesn't relate to us now just because it was written so long ago. No, God, You have given us Your word. to speak into our lives right now, here in this place. So work powerfully through your Spirit. Encourage us. Encourage the fathers in this room, the parents in this room, that they would see that it doesn't all fall on them, because you are with us and you promise us that you will guide and that you will lead and that you will always show your love and grace. So God, I pray that today's message would be an encouraging one and that you would speak powerfully through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's two points that I have for us today. The first is, and this is, again, for the fathers and the parents here, but for all of us, it remains true, this truth, that we must live as children of God. So live as a child of God. That's going to be the first point. The second point is going to be this, to love like the Heavenly Father. Love like the Heavenly Father. So live as a child of God and love like the Heavenly Father. So let's start with that first point, to live as a child of God. In verse 1, it says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Now, with just one verse in the Bible, so much can be said of how awesome and loving our God truly is. If we look at this verse, it says, therefore be imitators of God. Now, if we just stop there, it might feel actually a little bit distant or maybe even like a heavy burden on those who are listening or reading. To be an imitator of God essentially would mean be perfect, because God is perfect. So be imitators of God. It might feel like a lot of pressure. It might even sound like it's just saying, do your best to pretend like you're Him. Do your best outwardly to be holy. Do your best outwardly to do the right things. Do your best outwardly to behave in the way that God would want you to behave. So be imitators of God, right? Nowadays, we have people who make careers off of imitating other people. They get the inflection down and the voice, the delivery, the cadence of how they speak. But that's not what's being spoken of here. You see, it's not just a checklist of what an imitator of God looks like. Do these things, don't do those things. You will fail time and time again if imitating God just simply means try to be perfect like God is perfect. Do all the things right, all the commandments, or else you are a failure. But we see that Paul doesn't just stop there and say, you know, be imitators of God, but look what it says. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Now that changes the whole game. That changes everything. Because it's not just about how you carry yourself or how you present yourself before others. Be like God. Come on, why can't you be more like God? No, it's be like God, but because you are a beloved child. It changes everything, doesn't it? Because it changes the core of why you're doing it. You're not doing it because you're going to get in trouble if you don't. You're not doing it because it's just the best thing to do. You're not doing it just so that you can show that you are good like God to those around you. No, you're doing it because you have an intimate relationship with God as beloved children. In John chapter 1, verse 12, we remember this is what it says. But to all who did receive Him, receive Jesus Christ, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. So by grace through faith in Jesus, those who were lost, those who were in the darkness, those who were spiritually blind, we have not only been saved from our sin, forgiven by the work of Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection, but we are now invited to be a part of His family. It becomes our identity. Our first and foremost identity is as a child of God, a beloved child of God. And so the way that we live our lives now, everything should stem out of that reality, that truth, that we are children of God. It wasn't because we became good enough at imitating God that He gave us this opportunity to become his children. He didn't say, okay, you've done a good enough job behaving well, so now you're my child. You've done a good enough job at obeying my commandments, so now you're my child. He doesn't do that. He says, come to me. In your brokenness, in your sadness, even in your rebellion, if you come to me, I will receive you. Not because you've done such a great job of imitating me or doing all the right things and not doing all the wrong things, but because I love you and I want to give you this chance to be a part of my eternal family, the family of God, as a beloved child. Think about that. That's the Father's heart. To bring people in, to raise them, to show love unconditional. But there's only one who can do it perfectly, and that is God himself. So live as a child of God. That means we are rooted in our identity in Christ. We're rooted in our identity as a child of God. Now let me tell you why this is so very important. Now you've heard this analogy from me before, but I feel like it's so important. When we are rooted in our identity in Christ, when we know every day, no matter what we're doing or no matter what we're going through, that we are God's beloved child and there's nothing that can change that, then in life, we operate as what I would like to say, spiritual thermostats, spiritual thermostats. I believe God calls us all, but especially as fathers and parents, we are called to be spiritual thermostats. And what does this mean? It means when we have this sure identity where we find our purpose in God, our satisfaction, our acceptance in God through Christ Jesus, it gives us confidence not in ourselves, but in who we are because God has called us his beloved children. So even as fathers into your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, guess what? You're still a child of God, and that needs to be your primary identity. It's the identity that informs all the other things in your life. And it's a freeing thing to live as a child of God. Because as the fathers here would attest to, by no means have we been perfect dads. We mess up. We're not perfect. We make mistakes and mistakes upon mistakes, and we fail our children. And even saying that just feels like, oh, you know, we don't want to. But the reality of who we are in our brokenness, it's true. But when we have our foundation in who we are as children of God, we understand that it is not about being the best dad and having everything all together, but it's about pointing to God the Father and saying, I don't have it all together, yes, but I'm doing my best to love. I'm doing my best to live in light of who God says that I am. And that's what I want my children to see. That I don't get pulled this way and that way by culture and by the environment around me, but being a spiritual thermostat means that you set the temperature. You have integrity because your confidence is not in yourself and whether you're failing or succeeding, but because of what God has done through Christ Jesus. You have a steady, perfect temperature that you can go, that you can set your life at. You can set the tone because of who you know yourself to be in Christ Jesus. So that's the difference. A thermostat sets the temperature. So when you go to a room, you're the one impacting the environment around you. But if you're a thermometer, when it gets hot, you get hot. When it gets cold, and you get pulled this way and that way. As fathers, as parents, be rooted in your identity as a child of God, a beloved child of God, so that no matter what mistakes even you may make or whatever things might be going on in your life, you can trust in him, you can rely on him, and continue going forward, remembering that you are a child of God. And at times, if you feel like you've been more like a spiritual thermometer, that you're kind of up and down, even in your relationship with God, seemingly, remember that we have church, we have fellowship, we have brothers and sisters in Christ who remind us of who we are in God. And in that way, we can again say, Lord, help me. Help me to be one that doesn't change with the culture, change with the things around me, but help me reset always in my relationship with God. Second thing is this, love like the Heavenly Father. So they're very closely linked. To live as a child of God means you know who you are in the Lord because of His great love for you. And then here in verses 1 through 2, we're going to read both of them here. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Why? How? As Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. As children of God, it says that we should imitate Him. And what is the deepest way that we can imitate our God? Well, we know that God is love. It tells us in 1 John. And so when we look at these two simple verses, it tells us to be imitators of God is on par, or basically saying again, to walk in love. These two things are synonymous. If you're imitating God and you know that you're a beloved child of God, then you are also walking in love, because that's who you are as a child of God. That's who you know God the Father to be. And as you do that, it overflows from your life, your relationship with God, into those around you. And especially as fathers and as parents, this is so true. Not only in your relationship with spouse, but with your children, even at a young age, they are still spiritual kids. They can pick up on things. They know when something is real or not, in the sense that, is this something that Appa, or you know, my dad really believes in? Do I see that in the way that he lives his life, the way that he treats me, shows me? And again, not talking about perfection, but there's the reality that someone who is connected to God the Father, loving as God the Father loves, that it translates into the children. And they see that this is a special kind of love, one that can only come from God. I definitely am getting to know what this verse means more and more. You know, obviously, I have two little ones now. Caleb is 5 and Chloe is 2. And raising them has been one of the greatest joys of my life. I think there's a picture here that kind of sums up just the craziness of raising these two. Uncle Eric got them like these masks, you know, that they put on, and they just started having fun and playing with them. But it's been one of the greatest joys of my life. They have challenged me and kept me accountable to be the best man, to be the best dad that I can be. And what does this mean that I have to love like the Heavenly Father? I think it means that I have to be very sure that I am prioritizing my own relationship with God. You know, sometimes I just think to myself, what's the best way that I can be the best dad? I have to give my love, I have to give my time, I have to give my energy. And while those things are true, the very best thing that I could give to my children is, in fact, the love of God. And how can I give to my children the love of God if I'm not spending time with God, the Heavenly Father, myself? So are you prioritizing in your life as fathers, as parents, your own relationship with God so that you're growing in His love, and that is the love that you are giving to your children? It's challenging, isn't it? Because we're so accustomed to, I want to show you that I'm the best dad, that I got everything together. I'm going to do my best to take care of this family. I'm going to get the job that I can, you know, support my family. I'm going to treat, you know, you guys as well as I can possibly do. What I can do, it's on my shoulders, it's my responsibility. And yes, again, I'm not taking away all responsibility from fathers and parents, but who are you showing with your life? Is it you and how strong you are, how capable you are, how loving you are? Or does the love that you show point to a greater love, the greatest love, which is the love of the Heavenly Father? Love like the Heavenly Father. You know, I think it's natural for children to want to imitate their dads, to want to imitate their parents. You know, even in, as young children, they kind of play and they'll imitate, you know, and they'll do different things to be like, oh, I'm like Appa, or I'm like Amma, right? I'm like Mom, I'm like Dad, and they'll do different things that maybe, you know, Mom and Dad do around the house, or even little things that they say. You know, they pick up on it, they repeat it. That's why you got to be careful, right, what you say and, you know, what you're doing. And I remember just thinking back, you know, when Caleb was around 1 or 2 years old. And, you know, I used to do this thing with him where I just kind of sit him on my lap and then I would just start laughing, like intentionally, like, you know, and then Caleb would kind of look up at me a little bit like, hey, what's going on? Right? Why is Dad laughing? And I would just keep on doing it. And after a little bit, he would just join in and start laughing with me. Not because he thought something was funny, not because he knew exactly what was going on, but because he saw his dad, who he loves, and he just started imitating me. And I think about that. And it's just like a small moment, but it's such a clear picture that when you have a relationship with someone, when you have a relationship with the Father, there's something about that that makes you want to imitate. You know, they say imitation is like the highest form of flattery. I think, you know, that's the saying. But I start thinking about it. Well, what do I want my children? What do we as fathers, as parents, want our children to imitate about us? What do we want them to gather from their years of being our children? And you know what I started realizing is that too much of what I wanted, and oftentimes what we want as fathers and as parents, is that they look more and more like us. Maybe not the bad things, right? But the good things, we want them to look like us. They're our children. You know, Caleb's older now. One of the things that he imitates about me, whether it's for good or bad, it's dad jokes, okay? Now, if he ever hears the word Joe, he automatically says, Joe Mama. I mean, it's kind of funny, but why? Because I've said it maybe one too many times. Hey, do you know Joe? And they say, Joe who? Joe Mama. But he'll do that. He imitates. So even the not so great stuff, he's imitating. But I started thinking, what do I want him to imitate about me? And the more and more I thought about it, and the more that I look at the Word of God, my most important thing that I can impress upon my children is that if they're going to imitate me, that there's an imitation of God the Father. I want to show them in my life, not Josh Cho as dad, but in my life, in the way that I treat my wife, in the way that I treat my kids, that what they will see is the love of the Heavenly Father. And that more than thinking that they have such a great dad, that they would see magnified the Heavenly Father who has given Jesus Christ his Son to die on the cross for our sins. And that he's risen again, and that there's power in the name of Jesus and who he is. There is great love, the greatest love the world has ever known in Jesus Christ, his Son. And so that's what I hope that my kids will see. That's what I hope will be their greatest takeaway, that long after I'm gone, that what they will remember is the love of the Heavenly Father in the way that I lived, in the way that I loved on them. You know, there's little things like that. You know, Caleb, I guess I haven't mentioned Chloe too much, but I think with Caleb, just being my son, you know, he's old enough now where we're talking about different things, and he's getting into all kinds of things, but once in a while, if I'm working in the office, you know, at home, you know, he'll knock on the door, he'll come in and say, Appa, are you working on your sermon so you can teach people about Jesus? And he knows, and I'll smile and answer him, yes, I want everyone to know how much Jesus loves them. And so he'll go back out and he'll do whatever activities and different things that he's doing during that time. And at various times, I'll hear him saying things about how he hopes that his friends know Jesus. He'll mention different people that he's met. He says, I hope they know Jesus. And so there's things like that, even the little things. But God gives me, I believe, glimpses of his heart for us as his children and the heart that we should be giving to our children as we raise them up in this world. God the Father calls us his beloved children. He tells us to imitate him because in him are true love and grace. The greatest love that we'll ever know is the love of the Heavenly Father. To imitate God is to know him as Father and in love, wanting others to see him and to be like him, especially in our children. That is our greatest hope. That more than being successful in this world and having all of the world's riches and honors and accolades and milestones, that if they just know the love of the Heavenly Father, that is all they will ever need for eternity. Verse 2 again, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So especially fathers, parents, to walk in love, to raise your children up in love. And even if they are not your biological children, but spiritual children, all of us as older brothers and sisters, we can have a part in raising up the next generation. So what will you do? Show them what it means to live as a child of God and to walk in the love of God. And how do you do that? Jesus gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So in our lives too, we love in a way where we prioritize walking in God's love. And that might mean saying no to things that might push you forward in this world. But because you want your children to know the love of God, you make a priority to show your children what is the most important thing in your life. And that if it's the relationship you have with God, that that will overflow in love to your children. Amen. This is the hope. This is the truth of what we must do as fathers, as parents who walk in the love of God. Let's walk in the Father's love. Let's experience his love on us through Jesus Christ. And now let's live in that kind of way together. Let's push each other as the family of God to always point to Jesus, to always point to God. And so even in our imperfection as fathers, as parents, we know that we can trust in the perfect Father, the Heavenly Father. Let's pray together. Just take a moment to respond in prayer. Now, I don't know exactly what may be going through each of our hearts and minds on this Father's Day. Maybe you are remembering your father. Whether he's still here on the earth and you can spend time with him, or perhaps he's passed. Or maybe you're thinking about your life as a father and your children. Whether you've done a good job as a dad. Whether you've made an impact in their lives for the better. Maybe you're thinking of the many lives that God has brought into your path where, though they may not be your biological children, that you've been given an opportunity, a glimpse into the Father's heart as well. But right now, I just want you to go before God. And can you just thank him for his love? Especially if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you are a child of God, a beloved child of God. And that is a relationship that no one in this world, nothing can take away from you. And so as you stand in that, as you have confidence in who you are in the Lord, then you can live in a way that's free from going up and down and topsy-turvy, whatever the world throws at you, you will remain firm in the love of God. So can you just thank God for his love? And ask him to fill you with it through his word, through times of prayer and quiet times with Him, so that that love will overflow to the people around you. And if you're not a believer of Jesus yet, you can still thank God for His love, because you may not be a child of His yet in the way that we spoke about today in His promises, but that invitation is there for you, and He will, by His grace, make you a child of His, a beloved child of His, if you would just turn to Him in faith. Receive the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ and be saved. And then you can be also a child of God, rooted in the love, the greatest love that only God can give. So just take one more moment to pray, and then I'll close this. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your love, Your unconditional love, Your love that never leaves His people, never leaves His children. And we thank You that we can be children, not because we did such a good job of imitating You, did such a good job of trying our best to be perfect or holy, but God, because of Your grace through Your Son, Jesus Christ. That if we would just believe and receive Jesus, that we have been given the right to be called children of God. We thank You for that grace. May that love just fill us all the days of our lives, and may it overflow to our children and to their children, to their children. And all the relationships that we have, may Your love, walking in the love of the Father, be so evident to those who see us and interact with us. We thank You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.